Podcast today's show at rte.ie/todaywithSeanOrourke.
Text in from Laura. A big thank you to Fionn Davenport. I found myself drifting back to 1971 as he brought me through St. Mark's Square yet again. Such wonderful memories, and lots more again in the future from Fionn Davenport. Now, most of us will spend the greater part of our waking hours at work, and however much we may like our colleagues, however good we are at our jobs, it can still be stressful and difficult. So how to improve one's working life? How can you maximise your day so you leave the office smiling and don't spend Sunday evenings fretting about the week ahead. With me now to offer some advice are Natasha Fennell, Director of Stillwater Communications, and also here psychotherapist Lisa O'Hara. Thank you both indeed for coming in. You were both actually with us last week in separate contexts. Natasha, we got fantastic reaction to the book club, and that was a great discussion.
It was a great book.
And we'll agree to disagree on that.
I know.
And anyway, we'll be announcing the next book of the club,
book club
choice for October very soon. First of all, Natasha, how unhappy can people get at work?
They can get extremely unhappy. It can lead to pure paralysis in the way they do their job. It can lead to an inability to actually go to work in the first place. It can actually make you sick. And I think Lisa's probably better at talking about that. But there are ways of overcoming that. And I think what's interesting about the whole work environment, for a start, you mentioned we spend a lot of time at work. We spend 2,000 hours on average a year with our colleagues at work. We must spend more time with our colleagues at work than we do with our own personal family and friends. The fact is that people can't often diagnose why they're unhappy at work and why they're feeling so unwell and stressed. And there's a number of ways of measuring that. And I suppose this morning what we're going to try and do is help your listeners to articulate how do they know that the work environment they're in is not right for them.
And Lisa, are some people maybe naturally better than others in navigating the world of work?
Well, they are. And I think some of it comes down to personality. But you also need to consider as well the power of thought, how we think about things, the choices we make and our behaviours. They will all influence our feelings of happiness. Or our ability to actually be happy. Because along with providing you with a living, work is also gives us a sense of purpose and helps feed our self-esteem.
Now, you both have particular headings that you want to talk to me about or that you can do. The question of your job and Lisa being a good fit for you.
Yeah. I suppose really it's about just checking to see, is it the right job? And again, maybe Natasha could talk more about competencies. You know, how much does it exercise your competencies? Is there room to grow? That depends on where you are in your life. In your 20s and 30s, you may be growing, you may be looking for opportunities to get ahead. Whereas, you know, if you're maybe 62, 63, you're about leaving your legacy, making sure you've enough for you. So it's about satisfying your needs. So I suppose really, if you're in a job that's really about paying the bills, one must really look outside the workplace and how satisfied or happy are you in your personal life. Do you have something, a passion outside work that actually nourishes your vitality, gives you a zest for life, and that helps to balance out the flatness of the job?
In other words, if it's something that you're doing because you have to or you can't get out of, well, then you maybe have to look beyond the confines of the office or the yard or wherever you happen to be in order to get a balance in your life.
That's it, yeah. And that's part of what work-life balance is about. So one regulates
but
the other.
But to add to that, another really good way of measuring and figuring out, I mean, is this the right place for me to be, is a basic thing of values. And values we mean by what's important to me in my professional life, what's important to me in my personal life. And your values can change as your career grows or as you grow older. So, for example, people make a decision to join an organisation because, for example, it offers security, or one of the values that you might have is justice. So you might want to be a lawyer, you know. So we make decisions based on our values. And then values, Sean, are like your internal compass. They help you decide. Let me tell you a really quick story where values related to myself. I was director of fundraising for Fianna Fáil once upon a time. I loved that job, right? I know.
The money was rolling in at the time.
There was a good good old days, the good old days when the country was awash with money. And I joined Fianna Fáil, and I remember to the day I died, the first day in that job, and I'm in Portmarnock Golf Club, a place I'd never been before, and Bertie Ahern, who was Taoiseach then, this is back in the year 2000, was coming to for the aftermath of a golf classic, okay? And I remember walking into the room, and there was very respectable men sitting around the table with their ties all on and all waiting to meet the Taoiseach. And as there was only one other woman in the room, by the way, as well as myself, and that was a female waitress.
She wasn't a member either.
So, no. So, anyway, to cut a long story short, Bertie Ahern appears into the room, and as he starts to come up the corridor, you can feel the whole room changing, right? Power is walking into the room, and he goes up to the podium, and men who were completely well behaved, just having their lunch and waiting for the Taoiseach to arrive, all jumped off and moved towards the Taoiseach, right? And all I could see, Sean, were this sea of ties just making their way across the room, right? Now, the point of that story is I was going, rubbing my hands together, going, this is fantastic. I am selling power. And that was what I was doing. And that was a value that clearly must have been important to me, because clearly it was a value that Fianna Fáil had. 4 years later, I left. Power was no longer a value of mine.
It wasn't something you could have been selling. I'd like to see your chances now in a similar job. You'd have a real challenge. Maybe challenge would have been your big value
challenge.
At this stage. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
We are digressing.
That's an example of value. That's a really good example of how your values can
If you've
change.
Got something that you believe in that
Absolutely, that's important to you.
The other thing, and I think you both have some thoughts to offer on this, is the whole question of one's self-confidence and sense of esteem.
If you are, well, you know, if you're in a role that exercises your competencies and, you know, it satisfies your, say, your value system and all that, it is something that you'll be very present with. So you're in there and you're doing your job. However, for some people, when they're in a job that's not necessarily satisfying those, their stress levels go up, and stress being the opposite of happy. And I suppose what I'm talking about here is long-term stress that seems to have no end to it. And so people often have that kind of out of control feeling, and they may feel at times overburdened, but they can't find their no. So their voice is lost in it, and they become quite resentful. You often see the water cooler politics going on, and, you know, people giving out and moaning and all that kind of thing.
And people maybe they don't have their wits about them sufficiently, or the sense of confidence to they're said yes to something they're asked to do before they've had a chance to think about
it. Exactly. So they're not even exercising a pause there, which is, you know, can you leave it with me and I'll come back. So I suppose really the only difference, you know, fear is only excitement without the breath. So, you know, if you're in that place where you're feeling overburdened, you're highly stressed, your breathing is totally different than when you're actually relaxed, enjoying your life.
You'd want a lot of self-confidence, and maybe bordering on the arrogance to say to your boss, who may just call you once in blue moon to ask you to do something, let me think about that and I'll get back to you. It might be the greatest strategy to put in place or tactic to employ if you're ambitious.
But Sean, this is about boundaries. It's about trying to build boundaries between you and your colleagues, and it's about having the courage to go, you know, the way you asked me that on Tuesday, well, that wasn't, you know, something that I'm normally meant to be doing. However, what I would offer as a solution is, and it is about being brave enough to try and have the conversation.
In other words, that you have a way of avoiding, say, the old thing about, you know, colleagues who might want to get the monkey to jump from their shoulder.
That's
to you.
It.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily employer-employee relationships you're talking about.
No, even colleagues. And colleagues who aren't pulling their weight, for example, or colleagues who are being difficult, or colleagues you don't get on with. And that's a huge issue. So again, boundaries comes into that. And essentially what boundaries means is leaving that gap of a distance between you and the person to the right of you or to the left of you, and trying to control. It goes back to this fundamental thing, and it's about confidence as well, called locus of control. And locus of control is really about, to what extent do you believe that you can affect things in your own life? So the question you need to ask yourself there is, what can I do about this situation, and what can I do about it now? I can have a conversation with a colleague. I can try and actually come to some resolution that agrees with us both. And it is about breaking a habit that is, like you say, Lisa, saying yes to something when actually one day you go in and you change that story, you break that habit, and you try and have the conversation. People are okay with it most of the time. It's just the way they've never tried it.
Yeah.
And Motivation might be another question or another issue that is worth looking at, Lisa.
Yeah, and just it's about, again, knowing yourself. What motivates you? Is it recognition by other people? You're doing a good job. Is it somebody believing in you and telling you they believe in you? Is it money? I think money is really, it's not really a value. It just provides a...
provides, it's a need.
Yeah, it satisfies something, but... Or is it, does it give you opportunity? So it's about every person knowing, it's everyone knowing for themselves, what is it that wants me to go in, that wants to go into work every day? Is it the actual task itself? Is it the other people around me? Is it the environment I'm working in? Is it people will leave me alone to get on with the job and I can get the job done? You know, so it's really just about knowing what is it that actually feeds your vitality. You always talk about vitality as in the opposite of flatness, because unfortunately when we don't find a good enough limit or a boundary, if we don't know what motivates us, we can actually sort of, the mood in ourselves can lapse and drop. Some people get very anxious. They end up coming to see me or their GP and they're going, can I have a pill or fix this for me, please, because I can't handle the stress. I now feel I'm bordering into depression and I'm gone flat. So it's really about people. People do need to take responsibility for their own happiness.
But on the other side, when we're talking about this outside, one of the things that I'm exploring at the moment and I'm doing a lot of research on is that gap between what companies say they actually do and really what happens internally. So you can say to somebody, well, you know, when you get in there, keep your head down and focus and do la la la. It's quite a lot of nonsense to a large extent, depending on the companies you're talking about. Because, for example, so companies can say, or we value authenticity and we value courage and innovation. But when the employee tries to be innovative or courageous or, you know, offer an opinion, they're knocked down completely. And we've all been there. And it's happened to all of us in different places. So what I would ask and urge employers to do particularly is, if you say you are one thing, please enact it internally, because that's the gap that employees find very confusing.
Yeah, my door is always open. That's a typical one you might
hear. Very good.
Yeah.
It's a really good example. My door is always open. Nonsense. You spend like trailblaze to their door. Can I talk to you for 2 minutes? And you're trying to squeeze in a conversation. So that's a very big issue when it comes to employees.
The other one I was wondering about is how important, Lisa, it is for people to have a clear idea and have an understood and an agreed arrangement about what their duties, their job spec, what they amount to.
Well, clarity always allows person, it just, that's again a boundaries thing. You know, people are just clear about what's expected about and then they can operate from that. It's when they're given mixed messages, confusion reigns, and confusion is a stressor. That's the opposite again of being happy. People know what's coming next. People ultimately like safety. They do. They like
and communication. This is, I mean, again, two biggest reasons why companies break down and there's huge issues at work. One is communication, and that's about purpose, that people aren't clear on what's expected of them, what their purpose is, what their role is, defining their responsibilities. And two is feedback, validation, telling people they've done a good job. People are so deprived of love and praise and a job well done.
Well, you see, that's all very well. We all think feedback is a great idea until we get it. And, you know, we'd all love to be told, oh, fantastic, you're doing a great job and you're going places. But what if you're not? How do you deal with that?
What if you're not getting the feedback?
What if you're not getting the praise and the love and the affirmation?
Well, that then becomes about, well, why not? Why
they don't do it because it's often not a cultural thing, Sean. It depends on the organisation. Culturally, quite often, it's not something that companies do. We Irish aren't great at it, to be really honest. And the other extreme of that is that the Americans are quite over the top about it, maybe.
Well, now, here's this one. We're running out of time. I'm sorry I hadn't spotted this because it might have been in a minute or two ago. My daughter is being bullied in her job. She's just been on the phone crying. Her self-confidence and self-esteem are shattered. Mm. I'm so worried about her. Please help.
Yeah, I would say if you can get some professional help as soon as she can, you know, have a look on the IACP website or just look up counselling or whatever, look up stress support bullying at work. You know, this is the time where she could actually get great help from something like that.
Barbara says, I once worked in a job where eventually after about 4 years it made me sick. I'd get off the bus and by the time I got to the office door, the nausea was unreal. It does happen to people. It shouldn't be ignored.
I know.
Absolutely. And you know what? The other thing is that companies should now have a procedure internally where if somebody is being bullied, that they can go in confidence to somebody and they might be referred to an outside counsellor or whatever. Can I be really bold, Sean, and give a quick plug to something that's happening at the end of October? It's the Image Networking Breakfast and they're called Turbocharge Your Career. The only reason I'm telling people about this, listeners, these are great events that people can go to and get advice on how to be happier
at
work.
And it's where again?
It's in the Marker Hotel on the 28th of October, the morning of the 20th, and it's run by Image Magazine.
So Image Magazine, okay. This one, I worked for a big organisation. The boss never spoke to me in 8 years. Turbocharge that. Look, we leave it there. Lisa O'Hara, psychotherapist, and also Natasha Fennell, director of Stillwater Communications.